yesterday we started to talk a little bit about the prohibition of halbanas panim, which is to humiliate others in public. And we mentioned the reason why we spoke about it particularly now is because the Chafetz Chaim writes on this week's parsha that perhaps that is a remez to what the Torah means when it says shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam, that you murder someone, you kill somebody's life when they are still alive, is when you humiliate them and they have to live with that embarrassment, they have to suffer through it. So let's continue on that a little bit more and see what Chazal have to say about this prohibition. The Gemara can be found in Brachos on Daf Mem Gimel, in Bab Metzia Daf Nun Tes, the same Gemara in Sota and Daf Yud, and a Gemara in Ksubas once again. And the reason why I mention it is because obviously Chazal found it important enough to mention the same theme four different times in four different places throughout Shas. And that is Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Noach lo la'adam shiyapil asatzma letoch kivshan ha'esh va'al yalbim pinei chaveira barabim. It would be preferable for a person to throw themselves into a kivshan ha'esh than to be malbin pinei chaveira barabim, than to embarrass and humiliate someone else publicly. And this is something that the Gemara learns from the story in Chumash of Tamar and Yehuda. As we know, Yehuda perhaps did something that was a little bit questionable. Tamar was now on trial. Nobody really knew the accurate story. Nobody knew what really happened. And Tamar had every right and every ability to stand up firmly and say, Yehuda is the one who did the inappropriate act. He's the one who should be held accountable. I should not be the one. And yet Tamar decided that she was going to abstain. She decided not to say anything, even though it was at risk of her own life. And this is really what we learn from that story of Yehuda and Tamar. I did see one of the Mefarshim makes mention. I think it's Reb Meir Shapiro, but I don't remember exactly. I think it was him. He makes mention of why is it that the Gemara uses this strange terminology. Noach lo la'adam sheyapil atzma letoch kivshan ha'esh. What do you mean? It's good for me? It feels good? It's a horrible experience for a person to go through a fiery furnace. So what does that mean? So he says, a mashal lema davar doma, somebody goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have a terrible illness, you can be having a horrible consequence because of this illness, but we can give you a shot in order that you shouldn't become so sick. Or he says, a person goes to the dentist, the dentist says, we have to put a filling in, we have to do something, it's going to be painful. In order that I should mitigate that pain, I'm going to give you an injection. Does the injection hurt? Of course it hurts. But would I choose the injection over the alternative? Of course I would. And therefore he says, that's what it means, noach lo la'adam. If I had to make a choice, and in front of me are two options, either I can throw myself into a kivshan ha'esh, which is painful, or option B is that I can humiliate someone publicly, which one should I choose? He says, although both of them are horrible experiences, it should be as clear to you as the choice to take the injection when you get a filling by the dentist. It should be just as clear that it's better and preferable for a person on his own to make that choice of noach lo la'adam sheyapil atzma letoch kivshan ha'esh. That is the choice that any rational human being should make, as opposed to going ahead and humiliating someone in public. So Rabbi Avadia has a very important tshuva where he discusses an issue that for some reason his opinion has not really been accepted, but it's an important tshuva. He says, "B'davar haminig shenispashet la'achrona b'chugei ha'yeshivas." He says, in many different yeshivas you will find, "Shebachrei ha'yeshiva bochrim lahem rav purim," that they have somebody gets up on Purim and makes fun of all the staff in the yeshiva, makes fun of all the administrators, makes fun of all the members of the shul, or all the members of the community, and says, Rabbi Avadia, is this something that is permissible? Is this something that is encouraged? Are we supposed to allow such behavior? Or perhaps is this totally off limits? And he goes on to a lengthy tshuva to say how much of a mina garua he thinks it is, how off limits he thinks he is, and how unacceptable, he says, obviously such behavior is. But then he writes something which is fascinating, and he says, he doesn't quote a source, but he says, Ra'isi kasuv, I once saw, and I would trust Rabbi Avadia, if he says he saw it, it means he saw it. So he says, he saw that Hagon Rab Shimon Sofer, who was the son of the Chassam Sofer, it says that he saw in a Sefer, Nifter Meirov Agmas Nefesh, that Rab Shimon Sofer, the son of the Chassam Sofer, died because of the humiliation, Ekev Divrei Albono Shehutchu Klapov Ayidei Rav Purim. He said, because once in their yeshiva, there was somebody who got up on Purim night and decided to make fun of him, and he was so hurt by the humiliation that he suffered from this person that he ended up dying because of that terrible humiliation that he suffered. Says Rabbi Avadia, I need not say anything more. I think it's a mina garua. I think it's a reason that we should stop it. And he says, obviously, this is something that the Gemara takes very seriously. Humiliating others is something that we don't take lightly at all. So the Rishonim tried to grapple with this issue, and they figure out, where exactly is the source in Chumash for this prohibition of halbanas panim? Where do we find a explicit source? So the Chafetz Chaim learns it from a remez in our parsha, but obviously it's not really the traditional source. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that he thinks it's very simple where we learn this prohibition from. Says the Rambam, Hamochiach es chavero, when you have somebody who you see is doing something wrong, and therefore we as responsible Jews have an obligation to point out their mistake to them, obviously in a respectful manner, and in a way in which they can accept it. So the Rambam says, when you go and you approach somebody else who perhaps has made a mistake, lo yidaber lo kashos ad shiach limenu, you don't have a right to embarrass that person, even though you're pointing out a flaw that they have, even though you're pointing out an avera that they may have violated. You don't have a right to embarrass them, because the pasuk says, v'lo sisa alav chet. It says, we have an obligation, hocheach tochiach asamisecha. We have an obligation to try and correct the negative behaviors of others, but lo sisa alav chet. The Torah says, when you are doing that, when you are correcting other people's negative behavior, make sure that you don't embarrass them. Make sure you don't shame them, you don't humiliate them, says the Rambam. Mikan, from here we learn. She'aser la'adam la'achlim es Yisrael v'kol she'kein barabim. The Rambam says, from here we learn, you're never allowed to humiliate someone. If you're not allowed to humiliate a bala veira when you're giving them tochacham, when you're giving musr, then certainly you're not allowed to humiliate somebody who's done nothing wrong. And therefore the Rambam says, this is the source in Chumash from which we learn that one is not allowed to be engaged in the act of halbanas panim. And the Rambam then says that some examples of this are that it doesn't matter if it's a young child, it doesn't matter if it's an adult, which often parents don't realize. We have to be careful, even when we sometimes give musr to our own young children, if it's going to embarrass them in front of other members of the family, that is something that we have no right to do. The Rambam says it doesn't make a difference if the child is a young child or if it's an adult. I remember I once read a story about the stipler, that he came to the bar mitzvah of a boy in Bnei Brak, and nobody really knew what he was doing there. He certainly was not invited. And finally, somebody walked up to the stipler and he asked him, what brings you to this simcha? What brings you to the bar mitzvah? And the stipler said, when this young child was very small, was very young, I humiliated him. I don't know exactly what it means. The stipler humiliated him, but he must have spoken in a way that he felt was not appropriate for the child to be spoken to. And the stipler said, we have a comment that the Gemara makes in general, and that is, a katan is lav b'nei mechila ninu. A katan is not mature enough to be able to actually forgive someone for doing something wrong to them, because the katan can't really process the practical application of what it is that the person may have done or what the ramification of such an act is. And therefore the stipler said, I've been living and waiting until this child's bar mitzvah when I can finally go to him now that he's a gadol and I can ask for his forgiveness because I did something wrong to him as a child, and I've been watching him waiting for the day when I'll have the opportunity to ask him now that he's a mature adult to ask him for my mechila. And that, says the Rambam, is something we need to be careful about. A person who is involved in halbanas panim is violating the avera not only when they do it to a peer of theirs, not only when they do it to someone who's a gadol, but even when it's someone who is a katan. And number two, the Rambam says, lo yikr lo b'shem shehu bosh mimenu. We don't have a right to call people names that they're not comfortable being referred to as. And this is something that often we find. People make up funny names for others, and it's not something that the other individual is comfortable with. And the Rambam says that is also a form of halbanas panim. Number three, he says, lo yisaper lefanav davar shehu bosh mimenu. Often you're sitting around at a wedding, sitting around at a Shabbos table, and someone says an embarrassing story about another member of the family who happens to be sitting there. And that's something we don't have a right to do. Now, the Chafetz Chaim reins that in, and he says, well, if that's true, what right do we ever have to go to a psychologist, to go to a therapist, if obviously it means I have a rocky marriage, or I have an issue with one of my children, or I have an issue with my parents, and I have to go speak to a therapist about it? What right do I have to share any of that information if obviously I'm going to say an embarrassing piece of information about whoever it is that I'm speaking about? Well, the Chafetz Chaim says that the Gemara says, Daiga balavish yasichena la'acherim. He says, when I have a pressing issue, and it's something that's causing major distress in my life, so the Chafetz Chaim says, quoting a Gemara, that a person naturally feels the need to say it over to others. And I don't say it over to the therapist because I feel I want to get at the other person. I say it over to the therapist because this is my way of helping myself work through the issue and be able to get myself past that issue or to repair that relationship. Says the Chafetz Chaim, since the reason why I'm saying it and the nature in which the information is being shared is not at all to humiliate the other person, it's rather to help rehabilitate myself, therefore the Chafetz Chaim writes that would not be an issue with regard to this at all. Now, says the Rambam, this is where we learn the prohibition from, And this is something that we have to take very, very seriously. Now, the Meiri writes in his commentary on the Gemara, in a number of those places where the Gemara mentions this idea of halbanas panim, the Meiri writes, well, the Gemara doesn't really mean that I have an obligation to throw myself into a furnace instead of embarrassing or humiliating someone. That sounds, says the Meiri, it's like a derech tzachus. The Gemara every so often says, it's nice for a person to do something, and the Gemara doesn't always mean that it's an obligation for me. For example, the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. It would have been better if we weren't created. So what does that mean? So how do you understand that? Says the Meiri, it's similar to this idea. Noach lo la'adam sheyapel atzmo letoch kivshan ha'esh. What does it mean? It means it's an important virtue, and that's the way we should frame the whole perspective in our minds, but it doesn't mean that we actually have a real obligation to go and kill ourselves instead of humiliating or embarrassing somebody else. That's the way the Meiri understands it, but Tosis clearly says, not so. Tosis asks a question, I think it's in Masechah Sanhedrin, Tosis wants to know. We have three Averis of Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Damim, where the Torah tells us clearly, if you have an option to either violate those Averos or to kill yourself, the Gemara says, we have an obligation to give up our lives. Tosas asks, why don't you add a fourth to the list? And the fourth should be, if I'm asked to go and humiliate somebody publicly, I should have to give up my life instead of doing so. After all, doesn't the Gemara say, Noach lo la'adam sheyapel atzmo letoch kivshan ha'esh val yalbim p'nei chaver barabim. So Tosas obviously understands that this is to be taken very literally, and we have an obligation to give up our lives instead of choosing to humiliate someone in a public manner in which they will be very ashamed or very embarrassed. Tosas answers the question, and he says, well, it's not explicit in Chumash. Even though we all know it to be true, Tosas says, even though we all agree that it's a horrible thing to do, and you have no right to do it, and you should give up your life instead of being engaged in such an activity, Tosas says the reason why it's not classically listed in one of the three big averos that you have to give up your life for is because we don't have a clear pasuk in Chumash that gives us that instruction. But what you see clearly is that Tosas understood that this is something that is to be taken very literally. So much so that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in a tshuva. I always found this a very amusing comment. Reb Shlomo Zalman was a person who was known to be extremely sensitive and have a tremendous awareness of ben adam lachaveira and sensitivity for others. So Reb Shlomo Zalman writes in the tshuva, the same way we would be allowed to be mechal Shabbos for somebody whose life is in danger, the same way I would be allowed to drive someone to the hospital, or I would be allowed to do something like that. He says, would I be allowed to be mechal Shabbos if it meant saving somebody from being embarrassed, saving somebody from being humiliated? Isn't it tantamount to ritzicha? Isn't it like I'm killing that person if I publicly humiliate them? And therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, maybe we should say that one is allowed to violate the laws of Shabbos theoretically if it means that by doing so they're going to be able to save somebody from the embarrassment, which is an amazingly sensitive comment of Reb Shlomo Zalman, and it just shows how seriously he took this issue as well. Although the Gemara does say clearly that we have to be very careful about this idea, what the Gemara does not say is whether or not we would punish a person in a court of law if they were mevayish p'nei chaver barabim, if they were involved or engaged in halbanas panim, would we give them malchus or not? So the Rambam says clearly we have no right to give them malchus because the Rambam says it's what we refer to as a lav she'ein bo maisa. You didn't do anything actively. All you did was you spoke. And therefore the Rambam says that doesn't follow the classical rules of what would warrant a chiyuv malchus in a bezdin. On a technicality, the Rambam says, you get off the hook and you won't be given malchus. And therefore, the Rambam says, that's why over here, you wouldn't be able to punish the person in a court of law. But the Sefer HaChinuch says, don't worry, you're not getting away so quickly. He says, the Ribbono Shel Olam has many ways to punish you without the bezdin punishing you. Don't worry, don't think that if you're involved in such a thing, writes the Sefer HaChinuch, that you're going to get away with it. The Ribbono Shel Olam will get back at you, and he will be toveya the other person's embarrassment. And that, says the Sefer HaChinuch, is something that we have to be very aware of. However, the Ramah quotes in the name of the Rush, and the Rush writes from Rab Shri Ragon, one of the Gaonim that came before the Rishonim. The Rush writes that although we are not able to punish a person in a court of law for doing such a thing, because of the technicality of a lav she'ein bo maisa, but still, writes the Rush, in the name of the Gaonim, we have a right as a community to put the person into cheirem for doing so. We have a right to put the person into excommunication and to throw them out of town, to throw them out of the kehillah, because they are engaged in acts of halbanas panim. And says the Rush, that shows us how seriously we take this issue. It's not for naught that we decide to choose to put somebody in cheirem. We don't just do that for any reason or for any aveira. Someone's a mechal Shabbos, we don't put them in cheirim. Somebody who speaks lashon hara, we don't automatically put them in cheirim. But writes the Rosh in the name of the Gaonim, this is one of the exceptions to the rule where we would say we assume that this is such a severe prohibition that if a person violated it, we would go so far as to say the person deserves to be put in cheirim, because we consider this to be something that one has to be so careful for, and that's why the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Afilu yeshba Torah maisim tovim. If somebody is involved in halbanas panim, even if you have a whole life of Torah, mitzvahs, and maisim tovim, and wonderful things, the Mishnah says, Ein lo chelek la olam haba, which is something perhaps we will pick up with on tomorrow, but now it's time for Mincha.